YT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 444-7200 or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Carlos and his team, we can't say thank you enough. We appreciate your sponsorship very much. I'm joined in studio by Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, we've got an hour for about 3 hours worth of content, so you got to talk really fast today. There's a lot going on. And I'm going to go to question number 10, which is, and I want our listeners to know that as we go through our topics today, Paul has links that I'm going to publish on abqconnect.online that are to his blog site, errorsofenchantment.com. Also links you to Rio Grande Foundation, R-I-O-G-R-A-N-D-E, foundation.org. If you want to know about New Mexico politics, if you want to know about the latest and greatest, and I mean almost by the hour, Paul Gessing and his team do a great job of putting that up. Thank you, Paul.
Oh, thank you, Jim. And it's good to be back with you. And yes, per the usual, we have plenty of content for the time allotted, and that is just the reality. And I kept adding items to the agenda here today, even in the last hour or so before the show. Yes, Ryan Stewart, our PED secretary, Public Education Department, has had an op-ed in the journal. And
Paul, I gotta read the first two words. It says, "This remarkable school year is over," and he's talking about education and mm-hmm. schools throughout New Mexico. I don't think I would use the word remarkable, would you?
No, that's not exactly the way I would phrase things. Remarkable tends to generally be, in today's modern usage, a positive thing, something, wow, that was a remarkable performance, or something, you know, good. I would not put this school year in the good category. Here in New Mexico particularly, but in a lot of states around the country as well. And I think the title alone, and sometimes the title of newspaper, "Schools Proved They Can Do It in a Historic Year." Now, this appeared in the Albuquerque Journal just a few days ago. I think it was Wednesday of this week. And it's worth a read because you'll probably be slapping your head and wondering what planet he is living on. And he talks about, you know, implementing COVID protocols, serving up school lunches, vaccinating teachers. All of these are nice things. What he doesn't talk about and even discuss is the actual reason why we send our kids off to school in the first place, which is, how did they do education-wise? What impact did this year have on our children? I have not talked to a single parent, specifically not one tied in with the public school system. And I say tied in because, for example, my wife and I, after the disastrous March and April, May of 2020, you know, kind of concluding the school year in the beginning of the pandemic, we made the decision, because we were able to homeschool our children throughout the 2020-2021 school year. So the school year that just ended, there's no positive thing that happened in our school districts and with the education of our children with regard to the state or APS that I can cite. Now, I'm not going to blame APS in this case. This was coming down from the governor herself in terms of reopening our schools. And we don't know the full impact because we haven't got testing data and we haven't got a lot of information. But anecdotally, to call this anything but a disaster is truly astonishing. And it just shows you that, again, Secretary Ryan Stewart, I'm sure he's a very nice fellow. I don't even know if he's in New Mexico at this point, because he was working out of Philadelphia, his home, where his daughter remained in a very, very expensive private school back there. Before the pandemic, let alone after the pandemic. So it's just baffling.
Well, and I want to read a couple excerpts. And I want to remind our listeners, we have the show because we like to look at the state of where everything is, but we don't want to complain. What we want to do is talk about alternatives and things that are positive that we can move forward to attain. The frustrating part is that you've got to properly evaluate where you are. So in this article, he says several things. He says, these are the takeaways. Here are the key takeaways from a year that we will never forget. He says, school cases decreased. School cases? COVID cases?
Right.
Okay, I got a big question about that. Most schools stayed open. What schools stayed open? I only know of maybe one or two in Albuquerque that stayed open, including Hope Christian School. And the data that they put out there, their kids were in class. They never stopped. It was a very courageous move by Terry Heisey, the head of school over there, to keep everything open. And that's from elementary all the way through high school. They had a few COVID cases. They isolated them. They had neat protocols that really protected everybody. But they actually stayed open in person. APS, for example, did not stay open. So I don't know what he means by schools stayed open. How about this one? We kept our educators safe. We kept our children safe. You mean that you locked them in their house and had nothing to do with protecting them? Isn't that more true?
Yeah, everything is true about that. And, you know, the science on this has been pretty much known. Most European countries, their children stayed in school throughout the pandemic. New Mexico, I looked at a website called Burbio, B-U-R-B-I-O. You can look that up. They listed New Mexico as the seventh most lost school time of all the states. So among U.S. states, we lost the seventh most. Now, it was welcome news in March of 2021 when the governor said, hey, it's time to get everybody back to school in person. But most other states moved much more quickly. Now, the most famous article of all was from The Atlantic, a economist and mom named Emily Oster, O-S-T-E-R. She really made national news in October of 2020, so pretty early on in this school year, with The Atlantic. It's a major publication dealing with politics. Schools aren't super spreaders. Fears from the summer appear to have been overblown. So she really actually did the science. She was kind of the first person nationally to really say, look, you can go back in person safely dealing with COVID-19 at the time. I mean, October 2020 was the very, very peak of the pandemic here in New Mexico and across much of the country. So this is not something that was unknown to people, that kids could go back to school safely. And we are still dealing with aspects of this where young athletes are playing sports outdoors, wearing masks in 100, 105, 110 degree heat. It's absurd. Now, all of this is, you know, there's complexity to it, but ultimately, to say that this was a successful year with regard to the state or PED dealing with COVID-19, I don't think you could come further from the truth, quite honestly.
Yeah, again, remarkable is not the way you describe all of this. And then on top of that,
tragic.
Yes, Wallet Hub comes out with their 2021 best states to live in. Article by Adam McCain, financial writer, came out on June 15th, so just a couple days ago. I'll post the Wallet Hub link to this article. It's something that we found here in the next couple of days. The overall rank of New Mexico in terms of best states to live in is last, number 50. We are, interestingly enough, 25th in affordability. Mm-hmm. We're 48th in the country, of course, according to Wallet Hub, in terms of economy.
Mm-hmm.
So almost last. Education and health, we're 47th. Now, I do want to say to you, I've quoted on this program a number of times, the Annie E. Casey Foundation, mm-hmm. which puts out Kids Count. And I think the last one they put out was Kid Count 2020, which was right before COVID. We were ranked last in the country in education. Mm-hmm. Quality of life is 28, so I guess we're okay there. Here's the one that really alarms. Well, I'm education and health, 47th.
Right.
And the one that's super alarming is we're 50th in terms of safety. What that really says is, Paul, we're the most dangerous place to live in the country.
Yeah. That's, I don't think, surprising to anybody, certainly who lives around here in Albuquerque. And you know, Wallet Hub and 24/7 Wall Street and some of these groups do a lot of great analytics. And I'm not trying to be negative. In fact, I have some what I think is spectacular news for New Mexico and its economy that we can talk about here in a minute. But I think we should check. Look, based on our own knowledge, because we probably know more about New Mexico than the folks at Wallet Hub do, from our, you know, detail analyses on a regular basis of what's going on. Affordability, I think that's a fair assessment. We're not as affordable as Mississippi, Alabama, and some, you know, more kind of red states that don't, yeah, that don't have as much, you know, cost to them in terms of places like Santa Fe and some of the mountain towns that we have. And we do have a lot of beautiful places here. But so I think 25th is about where we should be. Economically, 48th is about right. I mean, we have very high poverty levels, and that's going to come into play later on. We're very reliant on the federal government. We are dependent on oil and gas industry, which creates a lot of revenue for the state, but the job opportunities in oil and gas are somewhat limited. So I think 48th is on target. Education and health. You mentioned the
kids count.
Kids count. 50th in education, K to 12. The health issue. You know, we have a lot of violence as discussed. And, you know, I think there's a lot of health positives and negatives here. We do have a lot of, you know, people who enjoy those outdoor activities, but on the other hand, personal, you know, issues like drug use and those kinds of things loom large. Quality of life, I'm going to assume that we're talking outdoor opportunities, cultural opportunities, things to do. You know, for a state that has the physical resources that New Mexico has, you would expect maybe to be higher, but quality of life also means other things. It's a pretty broad term. And the number one quality of life issue that I think concerns us all specifically here in Albuquerque is the public safety issue. And, yeah, you go to Farmington, you go to Las Cruces, generally speaking, they are not going to have the same public safety blinders on that you have around here. But when you are in one of the more dangerous cities in America and we're having record crime right now, I think, that is a huge, huge issue. And that's going to be a huge issue politically as we head towards the mayor's race this fall.
So, Paul, I have to ask you, who is responsible for us being last? Is it the politicians? Is it our leadership?
There's a famous line, and I think it's a cartoon. We have met the enemy, and he is us. and I would say not every individual for sure, but certainly the politicians we elect, the judges we elect, but also the people of New Mexico. Now, that's the problem with a society is that you and I and a lot of other people listening to this show can do the right things and raise their kids right and stay away from crime and drugs and the whole nine yards. But it doesn't take many bad apples to ruin the bunch and cause crime problems. I mean, just a few weeks ago, we had somebody steal a forklift and then steal an ATM out of a credit union.
Oh, literally tear the whole wall down to get it out.
And, you know, that's just one person or maybe two or three, but it's a small number. And the idea that that is representative of people in Albuquerque is obviously not correct because we know a lot of wonderful people here. But on the other hand, as concerned citizens, the best way we can address these issues is by, you know, electing people who represent values that maybe will address that issue. And it's a challenge. But, you know, I just posted pictures this week. Rio Grande Foundation is based in downtown Albuquerque, and I can assure you there is a lot of problem. You know, there's a lot of problems facing downtown Albuquerque that I'm just wondering where our leaders are. And so, you know, if you keep on doing the same thing over and over again, Einstein said it's insanity. And it seems like there's an element of our population that is insane when it comes to those policies.
So, Paul, right now, you're a Democrat, you're a Republican, you're an independent, whatever you might be. You're listening to this show, and your whole job at the Rio Grande Foundation and the whole purpose for you existing is to tell people about what's going on in politics. You're liberty-oriented. You want to tell people about laws that are impinging upon our freedoms. You want to tell people about laws that are taking money out of our pocket. For example, if you correlate, we mentioned earlier, Kids Count 2020, they don't just say that we're last in education because they looked at high school graduation rates. They actually looked at education throughout K through 12. They talk about fourth grade reading levels, eighth grade math scores, and on-time graduation rates. And we end up being 50th. Well, I think that, you know, for a survey at least, is fairly scientific. And yet our state would argue that let's put in $300 million for early childhood education and let's approve that through the New Mexico legislature before we have a plan about how we're going to spend it. And that's exactly what happened two legislative sessions ago. And then additional money was added this past session.
Oh, it happens every session practically. I mean, we've thoroughly, expanded the education budget. The amount of money we as a state spend on K-12 has truly exploded in recent years. Partially, that's just the federal COVID money coming in and, balancing or boosting education in New Mexico, at least the spending side. But, the state is also putting more money in. And by the way, the number of students is actually declining. We're seeing a rapidly declining population of students here in Albuquerque at APS, but that's happening around the state as well. So again, I'm not telling you how to vote, but do you just keep pouring money into a system that clearly isn't getting the job done? Or do you refocus your attention and maybe say, hey, we should direct that money right at funding the students, not the bureaucrats, and elect politicians that will do those kinds of things. Now, the legislature's not up until 2022 in the fall, but we have school board elections this fall. And the Rio Grande Foundation, I can assure you, we're working on a survey right now where we're surveying all of the candidates for school board. And in years past, it's been the unions that dominate that discussion. Unions don't care about your kids. If COVID has taught us nothing, it's that the unions do not care about your children. The unions care about boosting their members, dollars in their pocket, whatever safety issues that they may or may not have had to completely mitigate against anything remotely unsafe, remotely risky to those folks. And, just to preserve the current system. Other states are embarking on different paths forward. West Virginia, a state like New Mexico, is one of those states doing that. So anyway, it is a massive undertaking to move our education system in the right direction. But again, the definition of insanity, same thing over and over again. That needs to change.
We've got some positive things we're going to talk about for New Mexico's economy when we come back with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Stay with us. In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520 or online at acch4kids.org.
Greatest gift a father can give. This is Roger Patterson with a minute of vision for life. The late Jim Valvano from North Carolina State once said, "My father gave me the greatest gift anyone could give another person. He believed in me." You know, I think that's the greatest gift my dad ever gave me as well. I remember as a kid, as he would put me to bed and we would say our prayers, he would often say to me, "Roger, you can do anything you want to in this life. Just make sure you ask God what he wants you to do, then go do that." You know, it's a powerful thing for a young child to hear from their father that they can do anything they put their minds to. Let's release the potential of our children by truly believing in them and letting them know it. Let's look at the example of the Heavenly Father as he spoke a blessing to the Son. It says in Matthew 3:16-17, after his baptism, a voice from heaven said, "This is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy." Do you hear the blessing of the Heavenly Father? Let's take a moment to do that for our children as well.
You've been listening to Dr. Roger Patterson with A Minute of Vision at visionforlife.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you to Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 836-5700 or indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, I'm always amazed at how many balls you have up in the air. You are constantly putting out information. Want our listeners to know that as you're listening to Paul, go to riograndefoundation.org. Great resource. You can go look at all of our legislators, their scorecard about what they voted for, what they haven't voted for. You can go to errorsofenchantment.com. It's an amazing blog site. In fact, most of the topics that we have today are posted with both Paul's opinions and other articles that he's brought in as almost like a bibliography of these topics. And I think it's time for us to slap the table and say, enough of this insanity. Let's educate ourselves. Let's get ready to vote. And let's start putting people in office that'll actually provide us some solid leadership. And the other thing, too, is, and we're going to talk about this in a minute, there are claims made by various politicians, including Governor Grisham, about her success on the COVID front. We're going to talk about that in just a minute. But before we do that, some good news, finally, for the oil and gas industry, Paul.
And not just for the industry, but for New Mexico as well. Now, I will preface this by saying that money has never been the issue with regard to New Mexico's education system or our government in general. We have ample resources, but our political leadership tends to misallocate them in the worst kinds of ways. That being said, you can expect a new era of energy-driven prosperity, or at least jobs and revenues coming into the state. Based on a few factors. One, just a day or two ago, a federal judge ruled that the moratorium on oil and gas permitting on federal lands, an issue that impacts New Mexico like no other state, and it's not even close, that was illegal. So now this is a district court judge. The Biden administration could appeal this.
Okay, but we need to remind people that what happened was is President Biden took office. Mm-hmm. And then he started just signing all of these edicts that everybody was just supposed to. It was almost like, okay, you're going to do this, you're going to do that. And this judge decides that his canceling or suspending all leases on federal lands for oil and gas producers was against the law.
Exactly. Yeah, that you can't do that without legislative approval. And we've had this situation in the last several years where Biden did a bunch of pen and phone kind of stuff. You know, that was Biden's old line about, I'm going to work around Congress by using the pen and phone. Then Trump pulled back a lot of Biden's things and also approved some other things. And then Biden's reversed what Trump did. So it's been a back and forth, but Biden has been well to the left of even Obama on energy issues. Obama supported the energy industry on federal lands, touted the natural gas generation through fracking as a positive source of energy because of the reduced carbon emissions over things like coal. So Joe Biden, since he's been president, has been very aggressive in taking on oil and gas in a way that's impacted New Mexico very directly. And of course, Deb Haaland is Secretary of the Interior, so she's one of the decision makers in that field. But so this judge says, no, you need actual, you know, Congress to act, pass a law or something in order to prevent those kinds of permits from happening. So we'll see. Will there be an appeal? We don't know. But the other data point to tremendous growth in that industry. Now, there were a lot of wells that had been unfinished, you know, things that kind of got disrupted by the pandemic. New Mexico has new formations, new geological areas that had been, you know, drilled for oil and gas and developed, and we had been on a rapid increase before COVID. We were the third leading oil-producing state in the entire country. Texas and North Dakota were the only ones bigger. Right now, we're neck and neck with North Dakota. We may pass North Dakota, and with this end of the moratorium, if this sticks, we could rocket past North Dakota and be the second leading producer of oil and gas. We have a $350 million budget surplus. Again, that precedes the removal of this this moratorium. And while I disagree strongly with the governor, and we'll talk about her COVID management and a lot of her economic policies, the governor has been willing to placate the environmentalists that support her through other avenues. She has been loath to place a burden on the oil and gas industry, an unnecessary burden on the industry. And this is, you know, I know there's a lot, you know, this is just one area, but it is the critical industry facing New Mexico, the industry that supports New Mexico, 40% of our economy. It might be more soon. A letter was written to the Biden administration just a week ago by 24 New Mexico Democrat legislators saying, great job, keep the moratorium. These are hard left progressives. These are people who don't like the oil and gas industry. And 24 of them sent this letter saying, good job on the moratorium. So those 24 legislators now look a little bit goofy because they came out against New Mexico's number one industry. 46 Democrats refused to sign the letter in the legislature, including leadership, you know, Peter Wirth, the Senate Majority Leader, Brian Egolf, the House Majority Leader. The governor has actively taken an opposite position on the moratorium for all the things we disagree with her about. So, and then all the Republicans sent a letter separately saying, we oppose the moratorium. So now it'll be a very interesting situation in Washington for the Biden administration. Will they appeal this ruling to a higher court? That's one. And will they actually, in good faith, issue permits, even though their preference, if you will, is to not issue those permits? Because they could have done what I would call a slow roll. You know, anytime you ask government for permission for something, half of the slowness is just sheer incompetence and bureaucratic inertia, and half of it could be political opposition to what you're doing. So this is going to be an interesting thing to watch, but New Mexico's already been doing very well with the oil and gas industry rebounding from COVID-19. Prices are on the upward swing. You can feel it at the pump. And $70 a barrel is where we're at right now. So it's an interesting thing to watch. But
it's very close to a buck a gallon higher than before the election.
And that's the classic situation. It's great for New Mexico's bottom line. It's not so great for your family's bottom line. And that's just a reality. And I would be just as happy with 75 cents a gallon at the gas pump, but that's where we are.
So, Paul, can our listeners take the information that you just went over and go to errorsofenchantment.com and look up federal judge finds federal oil/gas moratorium illegal? They can click on that article and they can get the information based on your website.
Yeah, they can read that article, but we also have a previous article also at errorsofenchantment.com where, and I would say this is the most important thing, they can find the list of the 24 elected officials in the legislature, these progressive Democrats who want to essentially cut off this source of revenue and jobs for us here in the state of New Mexico. And are applauding the Biden administration for doing that. And they can look at, well, are these people that represent me, my interests, physically, do I live in their district, those kinds of things. And right now, that is, well, that the title of that is, it's a June 8th, 2021 blog post at errorsofenchantment.com. New Mexico's, quote, progressive legislators penned bizarre and conflicted letter to Biden on energy, setting themselves in conflict with MLG and party leaders. And of course, it's just what I described. Now, the reason I say bizarre and conflicted, because the first paragraph is, attaboy Joe, keep the moratorium in place. We don't want that nasty stinking oil and gas coming in here to New Mexico. And then two paragraphs later, they say, oh, you know, royalties, which are the taxes paid by oil and gas when they extract it on federal lands, royalties aren't high enough. Let's raise the royalties, because actually we do want more of that money coming in from the oil and gas. So I actually have links to the letter itself and various other kind of
Paul,
discussions.
You're giving us an opportunity, and you're asking us to look at this information, be educated, and then vote based on that information.
Yeah, and my state senator right here on the west side of Albuquerque, a man named Senator Pope, let me find his name. He is one of the folks that signed on to this particular letter. And there's a lot of folks locally here that that also endorse Harold Pope, District 23 state senator. But there's a number of them. Joy Garrett represents the west side. I believe there was a Republican in that seat prior. There's Christine Trujillo. She's, I believe, an Albuquerque area person. Martin Hickey, he's here in Albuquerque. Liz Thompson. There's, you know, Antoinette Cedillo Lopez. There's a lot of these people right amongst us. And, you know, yeah, voting is important, but this goes beyond voting. I mean, they're listening to this station. They are among the most educated, knowledgeable on the issues, running for office, volunteering for candidates, all of the above. It's beyond just showing up every 2, 4, whatever years to vote. We need people, good people, to run for office and to make a difference in their community. Because, it is good news. All of the things I just mentioned are very good news. But we also have political leaders that essentially want to eliminate that good news, want to go a different direction. I'm not sure what that direction is, but they want to go there.
Paul, we don't have this one on our list, but when we come back, I want to ask you about the new mission of Intel and some exciting news there, too, and maybe some kudos to Gregory Hull, the mayor of Rio Rancho, for kind of working with that entity and expanding their mission at Intel. A lot more jobs for the Albuquerque and Rio Rancho areas. We'll be back with Paul Gessing, the president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Stay with us.
So, New Mexico, ready to get together again? Want to see the church in full celebration mode? Well, I have good news for you. Freedom Celebration is back, and we're ready to roll Friday, July 2nd with Bill Wickham.
This is Amazing Grace.
Oh, that's not all. It'll be quite a night, because you'll also be singing Under the Stars with Passion Worship.
Oh, no.
It's a Freedom Celebration, 6 p.m., Friday, July 2nd on the Calvary campus. With Phil Wickham, Passion, and Andrew Ripp, food trucks, and a full fireworks display. And of course, it's free. It's about time to celebrate our freedom. FreedomABQ.org.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. Sometimes we may see prayer as a last resort. When all else fails, then I'll pray. But that's not how our brothers and sisters facing persecution see it. When VOM workers interviewed a Nigerian frontline worker named Daniel, he used the word pray 42 times. He says, if there is anything you want to do for us, pray. We are here and we are fighting for the cause of the gospel. Many Christians in northern Nigeria have lost loved ones and homes in attacks by Islamic militants. But we can stand with them every day by lifting them up in prayer.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them suffer alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their whole team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming on KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. Dave Slade and Associates, 505-342-8100. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates do business by the book. 342-8100 or on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. Paul Gessing does business by the book, too. He has got about a zillion books that he reads every day. Or you write a book every day, it sounds like to me, with all these blog posts.
Yeah, you could put them into a book format and really track some of the most important issues facing New Mexico over, quite frankly, close to the last 15 years or so.
So, Paul, let's go now to, you know, we started off the show by talking about the claims, Ryan Stewart, Secretary of the New Mexico Public Education Department, really kind of praising and giving accolades to how shutting down schools all around, you know, navigating through COVID was such a wonderful job with PED at the head. And we kind of discussed that really that is just, it's almost like a frivolous argument. I mean, we just have nothing going on in education. But now Michelle Lujan Grisham has been claiming success on fighting COVID-19. What's the truth on that claim?
Well, it is true that we have high vaccination levels in the state of New Mexico, by hook or by crook, so to speak. I mean, we've got a lottery. We've got people getting paid now to get vaccinated. And again, the vaccine is not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It's something that's helped the United States really put the COVID-19 on the defensive and move towards reopening faster than a lot of other places around the nation, the world,
hey,
I should
Paul,
say.
I don't know if you got one of these, but I got a text yesterday from 505-370-7327. It says, James, notice from New Mexico Department of Health, reply yes to this message to opt in to the New Mexico Vax to the Max sweepstakes. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a scam or a real deal.
Well, that's the real deal. You can go to the Vax to the Max website and sign up for cash and prizes. And, yeah, it's, you know, the vaccine should stand for itself. And the fact that it's such a concern for the governor that everybody or such a high rate of people be vaccinated is kind of ridiculous, because my philosophy is, and, you know, I'm a pretty libertarian guy, what can I say? But if you want to get the vaccination to protect yourself, it's effective and you can go ahead and do that. If you don't want to be vaccinated, you should have the right not to be vaccinated, and that should be okay too. And there shouldn't be a policy around at the state level around what you can and cannot do, whether as an adult or as a child, involving vaccination. Because if I've had the vaccine, which I have, I feel like I am protected from those who haven't. And I didn't get the vaccine right away. I waited for a time and made sure it was safe, et cetera, at least safe enough. The same goes for children and children playing sports in masks. And children are way less susceptible to this whole COVID-19 situation. So they should have been in school all along and, you know, all kinds of stuff. But in this posting, I looked at some data points. And again, the vaccine is great, but here are other data points that are relevant and that the governor hasn't done so well on. Now, we have the 13th highest death rate from COVID-19 in the United States. So as a state,
with a population of only 2 million people.
But the death rate is the death rate. Yeah, it doesn't matter how many people you have. So we're 13th highest, which is not especially great. We have one of the highest unemployment rates in the country, because you're trying to balance. You know, yeah, if you tell people just stay in your home for 2 years or something, yeah, you'll stop a lot of bad things from happening, but you won't have many people working and earning a living and that kind of thing. So we have the third highest unemployment rate.
By the way, Paul, there were states that didn't do that. They let
absolutely.
They kept businesses open. They kept their schools open, Texas being an example.
Texas was not the most open, but not the least open. I would put South Dakota in the most open category. Texas started to reopen pretty quickly, and they've started to really get back to normal economically, although their unemployment rate, the last we have data-wise, is April, and we're at 8.2% here in New Mexico. That should start to tick downward, because we were very locked down still as of April of 2021. So maybe May here, when that data is released, we'll see a tick downward. But the fact is, our unemployment rate is one of the highest in the nation. And our students lost the sixth most time of any state, again, according to Burbio, which is B-U-R-B-I-O. It's a website that's tracking some of these COVID data points. And you know, having kids in the classroom, we talked about it earlier, this is a critical factor in their learning. Not to say that the schools are doing spectacularly well before that, but when you're talking about the public schools, having them in the classroom is far superior to not having them in the classroom. And we're really going to be looking at data long into the future to find out just how bad this impacted our kids, but it certainly was not good for them. So those are three data points that I really put out as among the most important. And another website called the Smile Project put New Mexico at 7th worst overall in terms of it's using essentially those data and saying, how did New Mexico do? So the best overall in this report was Wyoming with Nebraska, Utah, Montana, in the best states, and then Massachusetts, New Jersey, California, Illinois doing the worst job. You can parse the data differently. I think those are very reasonable things to do. I think the vaccine is wonderful, but ultimately, how many people died from this? That is a huge factor. How much school time was lost? How many people lost their jobs and spent significant time out of the workforce? Those are the factors that I would really say overall handling of the virus. And it's not a particularly pretty picture for this governor.
You know, one of the things I'm really blessed with is our Native American community was really affected in a very terrible way during COVID. And it looks like all the numbers are great. Like on the Navajo Nation and other tribes are feeling pretty good about what they're doing. I want to compliment all the churches of every style, every denomination. Everybody was out there in full force, feeding people, helping people, delivering paper goods, hygiene products, delivering medicine. I mean, it was really good. And I hope that people will remember all the good things about that. That is one good thing that I want to say. I'm really blessed to see how the numbers are improving in terms of COVID going away, especially in our Native American communities. Hey, what does it mean that the governor is pushing for a green fuel mandate?
Yeah, well, we know a little bit. We don't know a lot in some aspects because of the vagueness of the bill. There was actually a bill introduced in the 2020 legislative session, or 2021, I'm sorry. So earlier this year, 60-day session, it ultimately failed. The idea was to force, through state of New Mexico policy, sale at gas stations of more clean fuel. Now, we can have a very long debate about ethanol and its environmental merits and demerits. Most mainstream environmental groups have given up on ethanol as a fuel. Using corn in gas tanks after all the processing, you have to grow it, you have the pesticides, all those kinds of things. All of that has kind of led environmental groups to say, you know, ethanol is not exactly the panacea that maybe we thought it was back 30 years ago. Well, remember 2 years ago when the governor said in New York, she was quoted in the New York Times and kind of made this big splash, New Mexico is going to do 52 miles to the gallon. That was supposed to take place in the model year 2022, which is right around the corner now. She's backed off on that entirely. She has not said a peep about 52 miles to the gallon. What has replaced that is a renewable fuel standard with allegedly less carbon intense fuels being put into gas tanks. What specifically that means, I don't know. We know ethanol is kind of the go-to, but there has been a push going back to the George W. Bush administration, federal level, for a renewable fuel standard, including switchgrass. I don't know if you remember that kind of coming up. There's all these kind of ideas for random stuff. It kind of reminds me of the scene in Back to the Future where the doc comes back from the future and, you know, they don't need to go fill up with more plutonium or gasoline, heaven forbid. He just takes stuff out of the trash can and jams it into the little thing in the hood, and then they fly off to the past or future, whatever. I forget. But anyway, that seems to be the model we're working under. Now, on one hand, the governor is going to say, well, we're doing this. We're reducing CO2 emissions. Whether it's real or not, that's going to be debatable. But when the prices go up at the pump, she can say, well, you know, these gas companies, they're just greedy. They're out for their bottom line, and they're taking advantage of this policy in order to raise prices at the pump. So this hasn't happened yet, but the governor announced this week, we're here mid-June, the session starts in mid-January. Clearly, this is a priority for the governor. She's telegraphing it, you know, 6+ months out. It's a 30-day session. She controls the agenda. You can bet this will be on the agenda. Will it pass? I don't know, but it's a progressive legislature that is by and large on board with the governor, if not to the left of the governor overall. I suspect that if they want it, they will get it.
I am going to have so much fun in our next segment, because it looks like public transportation, they're pushing to make it free in Albuquerque. I think that's hysterical. But the one I really want to talk to you about is the race between Branson and Bezos, and who's going to be first in the space. And Spaceport America is really involved in the center of that whole debate. And then we're going to talk about that mean group of researchers at Rio Grande Foundation that have had to be censored on Facebook. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer Program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org. Or call 990-7588.
The most important information anyone can receive comes from an understanding of the Bible. Only here do we find direct revelation about all things related to life and relationship with God. Life does not always provide us with time or opportunity to break away and study the Bible full time. That's why KLYT is dedicated to presenting round-the-clock teaching by some of the best communicators we can find about Scripture and how it relates to our lives. We need to be exposed to the full counsel of God's Word. KLYT presents the Bible School of the Air with a new time. Each Saturday, starting at 12, KLYT will present through the Bible verse-by-verse teachings by Chuck Smith, Skip Heitzig, and Chuck Missler, followed by a question-and-answer session with Scott Richards. We will continue rotating through the Old and New Testament. Drop into our Bible journey at any time and go through the entire Word of God with us. The KLYT Bible School of the Air. Tuition is free. The rewards are eternal. Saturdays at 12 on 88.3 FM.
Hi, I'm Todd Nettleton, and this is the Voice of the Martyrs Radio. After her husband died, Naomi and her three young children moved in with her parents in a majority Christian community in Nigeria's northeastern Borno state. But soon, Boko Haram, a violent Islamist organization, began waging an insurgency across the region. While working on her farmland outside the city, Naomi heard distant gunfire. She immediately started running toward town, but was caught by Boko Haram fighters. They threatened to kill her if she didn't renounce her Christian faith. Naomi pleaded with them, telling them she was a widow with children. The group's leader took pity on her and let her go. Praise God for his miraculous protection.
I will not let my brothers and sisters suffer in silence, nor will I let them serve alone. To join me in prayer for persecuted Christians, go to vomradio.net.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are back with ABQ Connect and Paul Gessing, president of the Rio Grande Foundation. Paul, should we all sell our cars and stuff? Because you can ride buses for free now in Albuquerque, right?
It is true. For the next year, city council, and I'm not sure when this actually kicks off, but they funded it to the tune of $3 million a year for 1 year, an experiment. to make all the buses in the city of Albuquerque, quote unquote, and very important quotes there, free. Of course, you're already paying for the buses through your taxes now because they're heavily subsidized, federal and state local taxes going to fund the buses, which have seen a plummeting market share in terms of transportation. Ridership has been way down. Pre-COVID, it had been going down, I think, 29% in like 5 years. So COVID really put a damper on the bus system, of course, because nobody was commuting. People didn't want to be on a crowded or even semi-crowded bus with other people. And the real problem, of course, the free buses are designed theoretically to get more people on the buses. Now, that's all well and good, but it's going to create some problems, first and foremost. The real issue is that mass transit as an industry, as a government program, not just here, but across the country. I'm talking about the buses. I'm talking about the Rail Runner. I'm talking about DC Metro. I'm talking about New York City Subway. People are living their lives differently post-COVID than they were pre-COVID. There are so many workplaces, especially in those big cities, that said, you know, maybe our employees shouldn't have to fight traffic, including riding slow subways with all those stops, for an hour or two every single day in order to get to their jobs. There's a lot of things they can do remotely at home. And I think the commuting patterns of Americans, especially in big cities, and we don't have real traffic problems here in Albuquerque, but it's all going to change, and it's going to change in ways that destroy transit, because it's never as convenient for you to hop on a bus or hop on a train as it is for you to hop in your car. There are some people who will use it, but very limited. Now, the real problem that I see developing, and Jim, I'm going to ask you a semi-personal question. Have you ever been accosted on a city street by a homeless person asking for, hey, man, I need a buck to get on the bus or to
More times than I can count.
Same here. And not just here in Albuquerque, but across the country in different places. Well, there goes that last little barrier for the homeless people. You know, what is it going to be today in Albuquerque? 101. Homeless people are going to think very kindly on the bus system for the air conditioning that they have.
Yes.
And if your alternative is sitting under a bridge or sitting out in the open sunlight, you're probably going to take them up on the bus ride for free. I don't see how they can, not that a buck is a huge obstacle, even for a homeless person, but I do think that you are going to see an upsurge in the homeless on the buses, and the drivers are not going to have any alternative but to just let them all hang out on the buses all day long, riding around in relative air-conditioned comfort. So I don't have scientific, you know, this isn't something we've studied, but this is common sense economics 101, that you're going to further exacerbate an already problematic safety issue.
If they want to try this, I have nothing against them trying this. Why don't they come out and say, hey, for the next 45 days, buses are free. See what happens.
That's a good question. Why don't you try it for a short period of time, a month, 2 months, instead of a year? Well, you would have to ask the folks at Albuquerque City Council and the mayor. And of course, this is an area where, unlike the legislature, which those folks aren't up until fall of 2022, we don't get a crack at really voting on the legislature until then. We will have elections this fall. The mayor is up, of course, as well as several city council officials, city councilors. And I think it's worth finding out from them what their thought process was and whether they supported this initiative or not.
And, Paul, I've got to say, let's take the mayoral race.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know all the candidates yet. I know that Keller is running. I know that Manny Gonzalez, the Bernalillo County Sheriff, is running, and a couple others have announced. We've talked about crime. We've talked about safety, even safety on the buses you just mentioned. We need to get leadership in City Hall that's going to help the police department and the sheriff's department take care of crime, and not just in Albuquerque, but in Rio Rancho, in Las Cruces, in Taos, Santa Fe, and I could name every city. Every single city in this state should have technology, should be tied into federal resources. We need to get rid of this crime network in all areas. I have people on the show ministering to people that are caught in sex trafficking, people caught in drug dealing. All of these different things are like major industries. It's the dark side of our state, and I think there needs to be something done about it. Hey, I don't want to end the show without getting to something that's really fun. Branson and Bezos are in the space race. It used to be so fun to see who was first to land on the moon. You know, it was Americans against Russia.
Sure.
And now it's Bezos and Branson battling for taking rich people up into space. What do you think of that?
Well, of course, they are two wealthy men themselves. Richard Branson is tied into New Mexico here through his Virgin Galactic and Spaceport America, where they launched one successful test flight recently. Jeff Bezos, of course, Amazon.com. He is a very, very wealthy man, even wealthier perhaps than Branson, I suspect. And he set a date recently. He's in the space business as well. And his company has had some more successes, let's be frank. They've got a longer track record of launching successfully than Virgin Galactic does. And so Bezos said, July 20th, I'm going up. And he's not just going up by himself. Apparently his brother's going up and
he's
a paying customer.
Yeah, he's taking, I think that's up to like 4 million plus now to ride next to him.
And cool, good for him. God bless him. I think he will probably be successful. Jeff Bezos will. And you know, we'll see what Branson does, but you know, these billionaires, they like to take risks. They have big egos, and Branson definitely is one of the bigger egos around, even among the billionaires. And so when he caught wind of Bezos saying July 20th, he said, well, I'm going to go on July 4th weekend. Now we shall see. I suspect that the cooler heads at Virgin Galactic will prevail and they'll say, Richard, no, you can't do that. Because frankly, I mean, this is a publicly traded company now. This is no longer just Richard Branson out with his little rockets. This is investors and people with real money at stake. And it's a relatively untested vehicle with some more than its share of hiccups. I tell you what, if he does go through with it in July 4th weekend, I won't be grilling in my backyard. I will be in front of my television watching, because this will be not just America. This will not just be New Mexico. This will be international, like real news. And it could go either way, because I don't have a lot of faith, quite honestly, in the technology they're using out there. And for Branson to go up, if he does it successfully, great. It's a huge feather in the cap for New Mexico and the spaceport. If he fails and something goes wrong and the heaven forbid the thing crashes or whatever, I think Spaceport America is just done on that moment. So it'll be real interesting. I suspect it won't happen. I think Bezos will go up on July 20th and we'll all be watching that still. I remember Falcon Heavy. I remember some of the other private launches. It's great. It's a great way that the industry is moving to less governmental oriented control and more private sector involvement. One of the few areas in our entire lives where that is the case, but, interesting stuff.
This would be great for America and capitalism if these two entrepreneurs actually get up in the air safely into space and deliver that spacecraft back safely and the contents thereof, the human beings that are inside. I pray there's no tragedy. Our faith community, I think we should all pray. We should pray for the best, because this is actually fun. It's exciting, and it's the epitome of capitalism, and I love it.
Yeah. It is, until you talk about construction of the Spaceport America and the hundreds of millions of dollars that the taxpayers in New Mexico have put up. But at this point, I still am rooting for Branson to make a successful effort into space and for that to take off literally in New Mexico. We'll see, though. It'll be interesting whenever he does get around to actually launching, and Jeff Bezos as well. It's interesting to watch.
One of these days, we're going to have 2 hours to talk, Paul. That's what I'm going to pray for. Thanks for visiting with us today.
Thanks, Jim.
Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling.
locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.